welcome to the Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Today, we're going to dive deeper into the world of sustainment by gaining an understanding of how we leverage the power of the organic industrial complex to support the warfighter across the globe. I'm very excited about this conversation today, as we're going to not only discuss the capabilities, but also the unique opportunities that exist for sustainers in these areas. I don't want to waste any time, so let's dive in. And to guide us through the discussion today, I have with me Colonel Dennis Fajardo, the commander of Red River Army Depot. Colonel Dennis Fajardo is a native of Santiago, Cuba, and arrived at this country in 1980 as part of the Mariel Boatlift. He joined the Army as an automotive logistics specialist in 1993, later becoming an NCO. He received a regular Army commission as a second lieutenant in the Quartermaster Corps through the Army ROTC program at Florida International University in 2001, where he received a Bachelor of Arts degree in criminology and was detailed as an infantry officer. He has also earned a Master of Arts in Social Organizational Psychology from Columbia University and is a graduate of the Dwight D. Eisenhower School of National Security and Resource Strategy, National Defense Strategy, with a Master of Science in National Resource Strategy. In his 29 years in the Army, he has risen from the rank of private to colonel, has commanded hundreds of soldiers in both combat and during peacetime, and held various key staff positions. With such an impressive career, I am thrilled to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Garrett. Appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for having me.
No, I'm very excited, sir. I'm glad to have you here. It's just being such an impressive career, private all the way up to colonel. I know you've gotten to see a lot of things from both the enlisted side and from the officer side. I know that's got to really, you know, influenced where you are today and be able to command here at the Red River Army Depot, and to and kind of help with our audience here paint the picture. Because we're titling this episode Leveraging the Power Over the Organic Industrial Complex. So really, what is the organic industrial complex for the audience?
Okay, so starting out with a big question. So that's a huge topic, to be honest with you. I'll go as quickly and try to break it down as easy as possible. So we have the Army and the different services and how we get equipment. So we have both line equipment and support equipment and supplies, right? Now we have the defense industrial base, which is where we have all of our industrial partners, the Lockheed Martins, the BAEs, all those others. And as a part of the defense industrial base, the Army has the organic industrial base. And so organic meaning within ourselves and for ourselves, and so that we do those things. We fall under the big umbrella of AMC, and then below that is an echelon, we have TACOM. So Red River Army Depot in particular falls under the TACOM. There's three LCMCs in TACOM, MCOM, and CCOM, and Red River falls under TACOM. There are 23 total organic industrial bases, and they do all the maintenance, repair, and overhaul of equipment, parts, and things like that from a range of assets, from aviation to water, air, and land. And so all of the wheels and tracks and everything like that. What we particularly do at Red River Army Depot is maintenance, repair, and overhaul of wheels, all of our wheel assets, some track assets, and hundreds of different other components and secondary items. And so the engines and all the other things that we do. And so we do those for whole assets for organizations and units, and we also do them to put back into the supply system through the DLA process. And that's one of the things that we do to maintain Army readiness.
So units send you equipment then to, you said do some repair, do units send you equipment then to repair?
So It's not the bread and butter of the organic industrial base, but we do repairs, maintenance, repair, and overhaul for specific units. And so most of it is managed through the LCMC, through TACOM. And that comes from orders that go through PM and the PEO offices and everything like that. But we could have, you know, someone could call me from JBLM, for example, and say, hey, Dennis, I got, I got these four vehicles that I need to have someone take a look at them, and then we'll send some folks out there, do a TI on them, and see what's wrong with them, give them a cost estimate for repair, and we could essentially do that work through a direct partnership with them.
Now, is that out at the unit, or just to clarify, or is it back at your facility?
So we could do work at the units, and we could do work back at Red River. It depends on the level of work that needs to be done and what the resources are for the organization, the time it needs to be done. It really depends on a lot of things, but the work can be done both forward at the technical level or back here. I mean, for example, we've sent teams. We have over 200 and some folks right now that are Red River Army Depot employees that are deployed in over 20 locations around the world that are doing work forward at tactical locations in four organizations. We've sent folks overseas that have gotten flown there for 2 days and have gotten on a helicopter and flown out to an aircraft carrier, done specific work for the Navy on some equipment there, and then flown back to land and then flying back here to the States. And that has facilitated, that naval operation to complete its mission and an example of a direct tactical readiness provider at the point of impact, right?
No, I think it's great that your team's able to really extend your reach across the globe to be able to support the warfighter. Pretty much meeting them where they need the support at. So you mentioned before, so there's, I feel like it was 23 different depots?
23 organic industrial base facilities, yeah. Army's depots and arsenals.
And then you're specifically at Red River, and that's the one that specifically focuses on wield, or is there going to be others?
So the majority of our assets are, or the vehicles that we work on are the wheeled vehicles. And so we do all of the tactical wheeled vehicles. And then we also do some track vehicles, primarily the Bradley. And we do everything from maintenance, repair, and overhaul on them. We do the upgrades, the conversions. We have folks down at Fort Hood, Texas, that are doing A4 conversions. We do the work here. We do the work there. Really, anywhere where it's needed. And then there's the whole parts and secondary items piece of it. I mean, transmissions, axles, engines, drives. There's hundreds of programs associated with that. So you can imagine if you took a Bradley apart and the thousands so pieces associated with that. They all go to different parts of the depot and get worked there and then brought back. So if you do an overhaul, that Bradley goes down to the hull. The hull is completely redone, and every part that gets back on there is either a new part that we've rebuilt, that we've bought, or we've refurbished the parts that were on there before. And it's 100% put back together, and all of that happens here.
Okay. So now we kind of got a good understanding of specifically Red River, what they're doing, what your team is doing, to just really how they're able to support the warfighter across the globe. So what is more some of the capabilities of depots? Like, really, how do units continue to leverage them?
So, if you've been doing this for a little while, you remember that we used to have what was called a third shop, and we had different levels of maintenance and an increased level of capability at the unit level, right? And so that has gone down to so we can get those maintainers and all those folks into the fight and have more ability to for war fighting. What that has as a return is that it's made the ability to do depot level maintenance at the organizations, at the tactical and organizational level, much less, in fact, non-existent in most cases. And so our ability to do the depot level maintenance to equipment that's beyond the operator and maintainer level is what we do. And so we bring that level of expertise from our folks. Most of our workforce is we have a large portion of them that are veterans that have experience in the armed forces, mainly in the Army. And they bring that to us, and they continue to develop that here at the depot and those expertise. That coupled with the constant experience and the throughput of the amount of work that they do keeps them proficient alongside with all of the equipment and facility and resources that we have that specialized in order to do depot level maintenance.
So on that, can you then walk us through the lines of effort on how depots are able to accomplish that?
So at Red River, we have three focus areas. So we have production, people, and safety. And under our production focus area, we have our lines of efforts are cost, quality, and delivery. And so because what we do is a direct service to the warfighter, cost is very important, right? The more we can increase the amount that the dollar can reach for the warfighter, right, and more impact that we can have on the maintenance side for the warfighter, the better we all are. And so our customers is the warfighter, and so cost is very important to us. The quality equally so. Our quality threshold is almost at 100%. It's non-existent what is allowed. And it's a very serious thing because, again, our customer is the warfighter, so it's very important. And the delivery is one that, is dear to me because growing up, I remember thinking that if we had a piece of equipment and had to go to depot level maintenance, I was going to lose that equipment. And so as a Bradley commander, if I had four Bradleys in a section and I was going to lose one, well, that four Bradley team is no longer together. And if I wasn't going to get that Bradley back while I was in that platoon, then that made me sort of combat inefficient, ineffective for a while. And so there was a fear to let go of the equipment and to send it off for depot level maintenance for fear of not knowing when you were going to get it back. The way that the organic industrial base operates today, and particularly here at Red River Army Depot, our cost, quality, and delivery is guaranteed to where we could tell you what we're going to do to the equipment, how much it's going to cost, and what we'll get that back. Now, notwithstanding unforeseen things such as parts unavailability or assets in unavailability, we can get that done at the time that we say we're going to get it done and get it back to the warfighter so they can get back to work.
Wow. I mean, it really does show how the organic industrial complex is supporting the warfighter, and just how critical it is that the work you and your team is doing and just across all of them to prepare us, just really to prepare the force for anything that comes to specific large scale combat operations. So how do we continue to leverage your capabilities, prepare for the next flight, especially the complexities that come with large scale combat operations?
But there's different ways. One of them is leveraging us directly, and so not just waiting for a program or scheduled issues or concerns, but maintaining that level of maintenance on a routine basis for your equipment, using your maintenance level money and dollars, purposely, and having a schedule that you stick to. And don't be afraid to reach out to the depots to find out what's going on, what's available, where's your equipment, what's happening with it, when can you get it back, how can they work with you, all those things. And also leveraging what they can do for you at your home station, right? There's a lot of things that are available. For example, we have the operational readiness program that we're utilizing now to help units that are forward and getting their OR rates up.
Nice. So this has been really good, just being able to walk the units through, just individuals across the force, on the organic industrial complex, what these depots do. Now, say I'm a sustainer. What kind of opportunities are available for us at these depots to work? So I know you mentioned you have some people who are retired military that work with you there. So what if I'm a sustainer, what kind of opportunities do I have while in uniform to work at one of these depots?
The opportunities to work at the depot are, while you're in uniform, are limited, right? You're in uniform, so you work at your unit. Now, we can provide programs where if your organization wants to send a small team of folks here to see what we do and take that information back and those skill sets back to your unit and your organization to sharpen or to enhance the skill sets of that unit, we could do that. We can also make coordinations to have some of our folks go out to your unit and do some unit training there. As it pertains to what level, different levels of maintenance. We can do that focused on weapon systems and different platforms. We've done it with things, for example, with the EHAD trailers, right? Where it's not so easy to manage and the maintenance on that and not very little experience. We've done that. We've gone to units and just sent a couple of folks and got the groups together and done round robins on training and teaching of that. Afterwards, after you take the uniform off or just before, we have a Skills Bridge program where you can sign up for that through to the depot. And you know, there's opportunities to bring those skill sets for maintainers to the depot and continue a good paying, good job with good, with a good culture where you know you're still serving and helping the organic industrial base keep Army readiness up.
Now, for especially like the officer side, because you're in command there, is there any, what other positions would be available for like maybe some NCOs or officers within the depots?
So the depot itself, it's a Army Working Capital Fund organization, so we're not appropriated funds, and the positions for the active duty are very limited. So I have two. I have myself and one major. And I believe that position will go away in the future. So just the commander is the only active duty officer here, and no NCOs whatsoever. And so, but as a CSL brigade command position, I searched this out. I wanted to have this position. I came here on a visit back in 2016 for the first time. With a previous boss of mine, and I was impressed with the size of the location, with the mission set. I can't say that I wasn't a little persuaded by the Bradley mission, since I was in a previous life a Bradley commander, and I sought to do this for Brigade Command. Now, mind you, I was a young major when I came, and so I had to still go through my major time frame, which is forever and a day. Then I had to get promoted to lieutenant colonel. I had to get command for that. I had to get sent to senior service college. I had to get promoted to colonel. I had to get CSL selected, and so there were a lot of hurdles and a lot of things before that. It was just something I had a little glimmer in my eye in the long distance if it should get there. And so when the time came for making selections and everything like that, I was blessed with the opportunity to go to Eisenhower for senior service college, and they have a organic industrial base. They have a industry study program, and I chose the organic industrial base as the industry study for myself. And that gave me quite a bit of experience and some insight into the organic industrial base prior to getting here. At that point in time, I didn't even know if I was going to be CSL selected. I just did it because no matter where I went back into the force, I could use that experience to be a better logistician and maintainer, right? So these are all things that would help you either way. It wasn't about like getting a specific job or anything like that. But then when the whole wish list thing came out, I did put, Red River there at the top. And I was, very fortunate again to get this. It's an amazing job. A little over 3,000 folks at the depot as part of the Red River Organic, and almost about 5,000, including the tenant units that are here. And so you're essentially a depot commander, so a CSL brigade command position, running an organization that's more like to a civilian organization. So it's more like to a CEO position, where you're managing your income, your budget, your expenses, your workforce, the police department, the fire department, all of the garrison duties and responsibilities associated with that, because there's no garrison here, but also the management of a business mission, right? Meeting with industries and partners all the time, making deals, so to speak. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, that is a very unique opportunity that you're serving in right now. Like how you equated it to, you know, being a CEO or something of a company, and that is unique. So what advice would you give somebody who's like maybe interested in the position, like your position in the future?
Advice. And so I've always had the long-term goals, and like, I want to go over there in the long term. What has changed a lot is the routes that have gotten me to those. So every time a door is closed, I've gone to the next door, and I've made the best of it and have done well, been very fortunate to do well. And then that has readjusted the long phase place where I was going. And so I've always kept going in the same direction. It's just the roads kept changing to it, right? It's never been a direct path. I think that this, you know, a lot of people say, well, you could do this job, and then you have essentially I've been the CEO of a $600 million company and managed that at that level. I mean, I've got a finance guy, a deputy that's a GS. With many, many years of experience, a sort of a staff, right? And then directors for all the different directorates that are in the depot and manage those. But it's very different than any other Army job that I've had. It's not an Army structure. I don't have a budget that I get. All right. Right. And then I don't have equipment that I get, and I don't have a mission that I get, and I don't get told how to do that mission by policies and regulations. I have to, get business and then do that business. And then the cost, quality, and delivery of that is important. Right.
So I guess it definitely involves a lot of traveling around that position.
I don't do as much traveling as you'd think. I do some, but I do have a lot of engagements. And so it's being in the northeast corner of Texas, I've got the four states right around us. Our region, our folks encompass the four states. And so I get the community help, in quotes, that you would expect from the folks in power in all those areas that are trying to help the business. And then a lot of community engagements, and then business partners. So we try to do private public partnerships with different industry folks. And so there's a constant meeting and engagement with all of those.
Now, is this still a 24-month assignment?
It is. So I have heard there's an affinity for maybe doing it for 3 years. Right? And so ironically, back at Senior Service College, when I was in Eisenhower doing a paper on the organic industrial base, I recommended that it be a 3-year assignment as part of our reporting out for what we thought the organic industrial base of the future, if you had no constraints, what would it look like? It's a new business, right? This is not something that most people have been exposed to in their entire career, and it's completely different. So sometimes it takes a while. The learning curve is steep, And so 2 years is pretty quick to get in there and make changes and do things and make sure it's going in the right direction. And not necessarily make changes right away in that sense, but to understand what you have and see if you need to make changes or just maintain and improve, right? Because it's a little bit of a beast in that sense. But again, the most, you know, in all my years in the Army, I'm not lying because I've said this before, but it is to date the best assignment I've ever had in my career.
No, that's awesome, sir. And I think that'd be good. I definitely agree. I think some assignments should be definitely longer than others. And I think you have a good case here with just everything that you were responsible for and what the learning curve, and just, it's such a unique assignment, as you stated, being like almost the CEO of a company like that. So I think having that continuity will serve the overall industrial complex very well. Just having somebody who's been there for that time period, so it's not continuously start and go, as a 2 year could be compared to a 3 year. Is anything today that we missed talking about that you want to be able to tell the audience when it comes to anything with the organic industrial complex, you know, specifically maybe Red River Army or just anything?
Yeah, I guess if I had a message for all the sustainers out there, especially the senior sustainers that have equipment or have a say so or a voice in where their equipment goes or how they get it maintained and what depot level maintenance they do, is that if you haven't done so, reach out to your depots that manage the equipment that you have, and see what the possibilities are for training opportunities, for having them come out to your locations and do work there, and talk about the timelines and the costs and everything like that. This is the organic industrial base is needed to maintain the skill sets and the capabilities that we need to respond in the case of a large scale combat operations, right? Well, our main mission is to enable readiness and be prepared for search capabilities. And we do that by staying busy on the regular day-to-day maintenance of your equipment out there. And we can't do that if you don't send it here. You just hold on to it at the unit, right? To continue to do the great work that you're doing at the operator and maintainer level. But beyond that, adhere to the long-term schedules of maintenance and have the honest discussion with your leadership about the time frames that you have to be without that equipment for it to be serviced, because ultimately you'll need it for the readiness that you have if you're going to go downrange.
So then I think that's some fantastic advice for the audience to really how to utilize your team going forward. And as we continue to really come to closing out today's segment, you've had 29 years of service in the Army. You've went from private to colonel. So I know you've seen a lot of different things throughout your time. Any lasting advice from your experience for the sustainment community just as a whole?
No, I think it was what I said last. The most important thing is to take care of the equipment that you have with that long-term maintenance, having it in the cycles. And I don't want to be a hypocrite and say, do something I didn't do. I would have been very hesitant to give up one of my Bradleys at any point in time in the entire time I was either in platoon leader position or in company command position, where I needed all of the Bradleys to be effective. And you know that just losing one or two, for example, of those assets would make you combat inefficient at the moment. Or even worse, if you have to go to an NCC rotation, I mean, how do you go do that and fight as a team and qualify and all that if some of them are away at depot? We understand that, and we'll do everything we can to get them in, get them back to you as soon as possible, so that if you do have to do that fight for real, your equipment will be there to support you the way that you've been trained.
Well, thank you, sir, very much for today's conversation and just really walking our audience through everything there is to know about the organic industrial complex. I know we just kind of scratched some of the surface on it because I know there's always more, but, and then where can people find you at if they have additional follow-up questions?
So, yeah, that's a weird one. So I guess if we get a lot of our work from TACOM and PMs and POs and whatnot. If you're an individual unit and you have some questions or anything like that or concerns, you could always email me at Dennis on the global. I'm Dennis Fajardo, DennisFajardo. I'm on the global, or just email or call the number on, if you could Google Red River Army Depot. And our information and our main page comes up, just call or email or call any of those numbers and they'll get to us. We have business management office that is able to talk to anybody about any of that stuff. Or if you want to talk to me, just ask whoever answers. Hey, put me through the commander and they'll they might have a question or two, but they will get you to me.
Well, thank you, sir, for that. And we'll make sure people to be able to, as we always say, get out your letters, you know, cards and letters. So, because we kind of want to feed that information up, feed it up anywhere we can. But want to really thank you for taking the time to meet with me today. You know, continuously, it just shows today's conversation. You know, you're down in Texas, I'm over here in Virginia, we can still have these conversations, you know, thankfully, you know, via Teams right now, so we can get this information out to the larger audience across the globe. And today, you really showed to our audience how we can leverage the power or the organic industrial base. And I know personally, I've learned so much today and just truly a lot of unique opportunities to sustainers, you know, that aren't available to other branches and just what a unique opportunity is for the command level that you're serving in.
Thanks, Garrett. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And this is important stuff and everything like that. You know, you get much more capable folks than myself. I have been on your shows before. Hopefully that I didn't bore anybody to death or anything like that. But if anybody has any questions in specific or ways that you want to get some help with your maintenance, long-term maintenance or anything like that, or don't know if we even do what you're thinking about or have a question about, give us a call. We'll help you out and get you to the right folks and whatnot. So I appreciate the opportunity, Garrett, and keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
Thank you, sir, and will do. But that is all we have today, folks. And as always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.